different cuisines. However, there's one type of food that I think we may not have on the menu. May I guess what kind of food that we won't have on the menu? Anything that we may not have that? We have meat, we have rice and stuff. There's something that's... No guess. One thing is fish. You don't expect fish on, unless you're doing... we don't have fish. but I'm going to talk about that a little bit. When I first came to New Zealand, I have more chance to dine out with all the kids. And many good restaurants, because actually some of my friends, they like to use that 2-for-1 coupon from the entertainment book. So we can go to the good restaurant and just only pay half of the price. But whenever I try to order fish, 8 out of 10 times, or maybe 9 out of 10 times, I feel disappointed. Perhaps you can recommend a good one for me to go and pay for me, maybe. No. But how does that relate to the man we just read about? So, the one who kept prosecuting Christian. I would say Saul was like a Western chef who specialized in seafood. One who tried to make the best pan-fried fish or seafood lasagna. One who seeked for the best form to prepare the best meat from the fish and shells. One who always carefully prepare the seafood to make sure it's in its best shape. No bones, no skins, no shells. And then one day, he traveled to Hong Kong. And he saw a Cantonese-style steamed whole fish on the table. When he looked at that, he threw the whole fish into the bin because he thought it's not clean. It still have his skin on it. I mean, to you, this, who hasn't had a fish like that before? All of us, right? Because we're Asian, right? But to that Western chef, he thinks, that's not right. He said to himself, he'll never set foot in a Chinese restaurant anymore, and he even opened his own restaurant opposite of the Chinese restaurant, because they're selling dirty fish. But here we make nice fish seafood. But one day, he spent some time in his kitchen. He's sort of like meditating with the fish. Looking at it, how can I prepare you so that I can keep the juice, keep the flavor in the meat? And then again, someone bought a steamed fish from the opposite restaurant and put it in front of him. And again, he chucked it into the bin. But this time it's different. This time the fish jumped up from the bin, opened up itself, the skin, and then popped some of his meats into the chef's mouth. So this is more like cartoon. Have you seen it? I mean, there's sometimes, and then the chef said, "Oh, it's so yummy! This is the food." It's like the light shining in his life that changed the chef's life. Saul was just like that chef. Saul was just like that chef. On the road to Damascus, Jesus appeared to Saul, which changed his life. We're not too familiar with the name Saul, maybe. We're familiar with Apostle Paul. But Paul was called Saul before he saw Jesus Christ on the road, or to Damascus. Paul was called Saul when he actively involved in the killing of Stephen. Paul was called Saul when he put Christ's follower in prison. Today I would like to ask ourselves, are we Saul? It sounds bad to be Saul. We don't have anyone with that name, right? You probably know friends with name like Paul or like Stephen, because they those are good names. I mean, when you think about King Saul, you want to be King Saul, you want to be King David. King Saul? King David? Yeah, more people nod their head. What about if we address him as Pastor Saul? Or Moxie Saul? And then you say, really? Saul is like it's before, it's not Paul, right? But Saul wasn't an atheist. He didn't believe in Buddhism and then convert into Christianity on the road of Damascus. Perhaps we should actually call him Rabbi Saul. Saul is Paul's Hebrew name. Saul has been a devout God believer, believer of the one God of Israel. He's a Jew. He's a Jew, lived as a Jew in a Jewish community in the Romans world at that time. So as a Jew, Saul keep all the food laws, the cleansing law of Israel, and he strictly observed the Sabbath. Sometimes we call him a zealous Jew, one who zealously defend the Jewish way of life, zealously promote that way of life, and zealously persecute those people who deviate from that. For example, I mean, if he's a person in this age, if you ask him about civil union, he will surely tell you, no, I affirm the goodness of creation, one man and one woman, and he reject all other form of union. He'll probably go to every single protest against civil union or maybe abortion. Those things that is not following the law of God. Saul stood firmly on everything he read from the Bible. The Bible at his time, especially that's the Old Testament. He knew all the story from Adam to Noah to Abraham to Moses to David, along with all those kings and prophets that maybe we don't even know their names. He read the Bible more often than all of us. That's Saul. So taught the Jewish tradition. Maybe he even worked on the tradition so that it become more relevant to the people at that age. Maybe when Saul was doing his tent-making business with the Roman soldiers, he would even tell them about the one God of Israel. Saul uphold what he believes because he hoped for the return of God. A glorious return to establish his kingdom in a visible power. So in the meantime, he's preparing the way for God. Maybe it's similar to like we are waiting for Jesus to come back. It's different, but more or less in a way like that. So he feels that he need to defend the Torah, the Bible, and the temple. So no wonder in the previous chapter, we read that Saul approved of the killing of Stephen. Stephen is proclaiming Jesus' name, but Saul thinks, no, that's not right. Because then he agreed with killing of Stephen. Because stoning those who blaspheme is certainly the kind of action that the Torah asked him to do. Saul was serious about God, the one God of Israel. But not Jesus Christ, not the way. Saul was awaiting for the Messiah, but not a Messiah who was crucified and died on the cross. Not a Messiah who said, I mean, the disciples said it, he resurrected. That Stephen falsely proclaimed about that. He certainly not believe that. But he was waiting for Messiah. I imagine if he were there on Pentecost Day, when he heard that Peter said what Peter said in Pentecost, he would stood up and argue with Peter and other disciples. He would get those people, he would arrest those people, get them into the prison, and wish all of them stoned. So after Stephen was stoned, Saul continued to be the one who persecuted the church. He even obtained letter. That's the start of the passage today. He even obtained letter from the high priest so that he can bring people from Damascus. Bring any follower of Christ as prisoner back to Jerusalem to be punished. He's a devoted Christian. I'm not a Christian. A devoted God believer. Think about that. Also think about the seafood chef that I told you about. He was crazy about cooking seafood. But when he saw fish with skin, he see that as dirty. He couldn't accept a way that's different from what he expected. He would never know the taste until one day the fish jumped up from the bin and popped some meat into his mouth. Well, certainly that's a created story, it's not real. It's impossible for the fish, but it's possible for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ appeared to Saul on the way to Damascus. If you remember, if you know the time frame, at that time it's past Pentecost, and Jesus already exalted at the Father's right hand. So when Jesus appeared, I actually don't quite know what image that Paul saw Jesus, because it's different. It may be just a light. You see it in the scripture, you just say, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul asked, who are you, Lord? He knew that it was God. He didn't ask, who are you? He said, who are you, Lord? And Jesus replied, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And he replied, now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. What was Saul doing on his journey to Damascus? Perhaps you can answer me now. He was probably thinking how to not cook the fish, but cook the disciples. He was thinking how to persecute every single follower of Jesus in order to make sure that nothing is blocking the real Messiah's coming. Maybe on the way to Damascus, Paul is meditating on some of the scripture. For example, Isaiah 40, which said, comfort my people, says the Lord your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. Something that Israel have been suffering for a long time. And then he said, a voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged place a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And so meditating on this passage, he perhaps is thinking, he's preparing the way for the Lord. He's clearing up to get those people who falsely proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Those are not real. He's rolling out the red carpet for the real Messiah to come. Yet he got it wrong. But for sure he was holding on to God's promise. He did everything he could to keep the Torah. I'm pretty sure he prayed, he fasted, not only after he see Jesus, it's before. Can you imagine such a man? I mean, the image of Saul before he sees Jesus on the road to Damascus, it's like he's just persecuting Christians. He's not a good man. No. He's holding on to God's promise, but he got it wrong. He did all he can. He's waiting for the return of God in glory. He wanted to see God. But he got it wrong. But don't get it wrong. He really wanted to see God. Think about that. Will God appear to you if you don't want to see him? If you don't desire to see him. Say if you come here this morning, not desire to hear God's word, not desire to hear what God's telling you, will you hear him? A lot of times we think that like God will force us into something, like because he's so powerful. Even if we don't want him, he will still change us. Because if he wants to change us, he will. But he never twists our hands. So if we don't want to see God, if we don't have the desire to see God, to stand before God, maybe that's why sometimes we don't hear anything. I sometimes feel that. I mean, I don't preach every Sunday. Sometimes when I sitting in the service and I'm thinking, I'm not hearing anything. Maybe that's what you're thinking now. But I think the heart is important. When I prepare myself, wanted to hear something, I always hear something. It may not from the preacher on the stage. But that's the desire is important. Paul desires so much to see God. So Jesus appeared to him. So decided every day. That's the reason he served. He tried to serve God by prosecuting those people. It seems to be a very brief encounter. There's nothing there. So why do you prosecute me? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom you're prosecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. That's it. Jesus didn't say anything more than that. But that was a paradigm shift for Saul. Because he's always been on the other side of the debate. But that he actually know what Jesus had been saying. Because he tried to go against that. He knew every single word that Jesus said and that's available at that time. And suddenly Jesus appeared to Saul and basically telling them, well, I am the Messiah. Everything you heard about me is real. So Saul now needs to put things together. Like everything he knows from the Bible and everything that he heard about Jesus and that Jesus is the Savior. He needs to think through it. He needs to learn again. Because of his ignorance, he was blind. He couldn't see Jesus. That was before. I mean, all the things he had done. And now he was blind by the glory of Jesus. And from his heart, he started to see. And that's only for Saul. Those around him did not see anything. Jesus only appeared to Saul. Why didn't God change everyone? Then you have 5, 10 Saul instead of one Apostle Paul. Then you have a lot more, a lot thicker New Testament. A lot more letter from Paul and another person and another person. Maybe only Saul desire to see God. Those around him did not see anyone. When Saul opened his eye, he could see nothing, but he has seen enough. He has seen Jesus. It's time for him not to be distracted, and for 3 days he did not do anything else. He spent all his time and energy to think it through. And then when I read that, I think about, what does that mean to me? Think about the time that you first put up your hand or say that you are willing to follow Jesus Christ. I think about it. What does that mean to me when I first believe in Christ? Those are the moments that we felt Jesus, we felt Christ love us so much and we need to respond. We put up our hands, we make the decision. I think that, did I spend 3 days to think about what it means to me and to my life on earth? Did I spend 3 days praying to God, admitting all my sins and turn away from all those? Did I spend 3 days in darkness and truly seeing the only light in my life is Jesus Christ? I still remember the day that I believe in Jesus. A brief moment, the next day, I went back to school and do everything more or less the same. And I step onto a journey of like slowly getting on. Like people will say, ah yes, this won't be a big change for you. You slowly learn more about Jesus Christ. Is that our story as well? I didn't spend 3 days. Maybe that's why my life didn't change as sharply as it should be. I still kept holding on to my life. I didn't realize that Jesus is not just my Savior, he's my Lord, the Lord in my life. Maybe that's why it took so long. It took so long for many of us. When Saul was still blind, God sent someone to restore his sight. And at that time, Paul was praying. Paul is getting himself ready for God. He thought that through. He changed completely from persecuting Jesus to having Jesus Christ in his life, his Lord of his life. So we need to ask ourselves, are we all in for Jesus? Do we see him as the only light in our life? Or there are other many, many other things that attract to us? Do you know that Jesus will shine through your life? Do you desire the Holy Spirit to cleanse you inside, outside, not leaving any corner for your old self? Do you desire the Holy Spirit heal your sickness and free you from any kind of hindrance? If you don't desire to be healed, you won't be. If you don't desire to be with God, God won't fill you with the Holy Spirit. God won't force you. And he certainly didn't force Saul. Saul desired God so much. Only those who are desiring God will be filled with the Holy Spirit. On the Pentecost, many God-fearing Jews asked, what should we do? They asked Peter, what can we do? And Peter said, repent. So they repent. They get baptized. They accept the gospel. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul was praying here. He didn't say in the scripture, but I'm pretty sure he asked the same thing. Lord, what should I do? What should I do? How can I serve you now? And other believers in the Acts, no matter Jews or Gentiles, and they listened to the gospel, they opened their heart to God and the Holy Spirit came on them. Look at your life, your own life. Are you desiring God? Is your house clean for God to stay, your body? If not, repent. Are you desiring to listen to God? It's not about how many times you read the Bible. It's how much you desire to read the Bible. If I now share with you one more passage to tell you like how God filled us with the Holy Spirit, do you want to listen? It's now 9:50. Do you still want to listen? I don't know, maybe wait till next time, next week, we come again. Let's pray. I would like to invite those people that you feel you are desired to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you can, if you want, if you desire that, you can stand up. Or you can stand up in your heart if you feel it's difficult. But why is that difficult? We all close our eyes. We cannot see anything. Think about Paul in the middle of the light. Let everybody see him lying on the ground. Cannot see anything. Will he stop himself from like, oh, I shouldn't do that because I'm, that's not something I want. No, he decided to see Jesus. He decided to be used, decided to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He desired the presence of God with him. Every time when I'm sitting just here, just like you, I'm closing my eyes so I don't see you actually. When I'm sitting on one of the bench and the preacher asks me to stand up, ask those people, it's most often those people who are willing to serve God for your whole life and stand up. And then as a pastor, I would stand up, but I still feel it's difficult to stand up. But why? If you decide to have the Holy Spirit with you today and you want to stay to God, stand up. And say to the Lord, Lord, fill us, fill our whole life with your Spirit so that we'll follow you wholeheartedly. There's nothing can stop us. There's nothing can stop us. That's the only way. Because you are the way. You are the truth, the life. You are the light. You are the only light in our life. So may the Holy Spirit fill your life. Fill our life. For those people who desire to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Lord, we give thanks to you. Because that's what your plan is. You want to fill every one of us here. Lord, we give thanks to you. In your name, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I don't know who among you have stand up. But I know that unless... Well, I'm really going to share with you another passage. Don't misunderstand me. I mean, you cannot stop me. There's a passage that we usually... preach. I mean, that's among the lectionary. Many churches will read this passage on Pentecost, because when the Holy Spirit is with every one of us, nothing will happen. There are different kind of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kind of service, but the same Lord. There are different kind of working, but in all of them, in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So different people do different things. To one that's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge, another faith by the same Spirit, gift of healing by the one Spirit, miraculous power, prophecy, distinguish between spirits, speaking in different kind of tongues, to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And He distributes them to each of us, just as He determines. So just as one body through one has many parts, and all is many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. If you don't drink from that Spirit, you feel weak when you serve. You feel that you don't, well, it's difficult. Jesus sent Paul to bring the Gentiles back together with the Jews, become one people of God. It's not by Paul's power, although Paul is very good. It's the Holy Spirit who enables His church to do His will on earth as in heaven. I want to give you a gift. It's some kind of music. I shared it with another group 2 days ago. And I feel that I should share with you. It's 2 minutes of stuff. Let's see whether I can play it. I cannot. So, Cindy, please help me. This is how it looks like when everyone in the church. I think that, if you may. Thank you. hope you enjoy the music. Happy Pentecost, or wish you a joyful Pentecost. If a church can be like that, just like an orchestra, listen to one conductor, not me, the Holy Spirit. And they must have practiced a lot, and then they get into tune, and everything merged together. That's for God's work. That's why we need to drink from one Spirit, or else we'll be doing our own thing. Have a joyful Pentecost. I think due to time, maybe we don't.